Hey, and welcome to When She Leads, a podcast for women in ministry. I'm your host, Brenda Leavenworth, and I want to sit around the table with you, grab a cup of coffee, and consider the complexities and realities of leading as a woman. I'll be joined by an awesome team of women from across the globe, and together, we'll bring our experience, research, victories, and of course, our failures. Together, we will confront each topic biblically and practically.
Again, it depends on if you're in a big church or a little church, what country you're in, different things like that, you know, but if there is something that you can maybe get connected within your community, you know, and just in little ways begin to help. And things grow, don't they? You don't start off, everybody's a novice before they're an expert, you know, but you got to start somewhere.
Well, our topic today is reaching our communities, part one, outreach. And today joining me is Kelly and Jody.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
How are you guys doing?
Good to be here.
Good. Happy to be here.
Yes. Can't wait to get into this subject. Outreach, the word can mean so many different things, but the word literally means to reach further than, to stretch out, to extend, to thrust out. And I just think about some questions like, how as leaders do we accomplish this? How do we lead the charge? What does the Bible have to say about this? All these things. There's a million ways that we can reach out with the gospel. Yeah. The hope being that people would accept the message and come to salvation, but how we get there takes on so many different aspects. We can be involved organizationally within our ministries. You know, we can reach out as a church. We can partner with other organizations, you know, humanitarian organizations or other Christian organizations, or we can reach out even individually.
Yeah. Yeah. I think part of not the problem, but as we talk about outreach, I mean, outreach isn't a word that we even find in the Bible. So I think as we look at it, everybody defines it a different way. And I think that's the problem. I know Brenda and I were having a conversation this morning and we end up saying the same thing, but it's how we are pretty much defining the term. I think that's sometimes the problem. And like she said, it's the act of reaching out, reaching beyond. And to add to that, it's to reach beyond in an effort to build connections from one person or group to another, which I see as like a bridge between a community and the church. So, and so some people, I think, couple evangelism with outreach, like that they are the exact same thing, and they can be, and they obviously work together, but whereas evangelism is more, I guess it implies more about the message itself. Outreach also implies action, not only the message. And I think the fear sometimes is the action without the message and all that, and that's what's debatable. But there's a place for both, you know, and they go together, obviously.
I think sometimes, you know, we think about salvation or whatever and the message, and that's the hope, right, to get—
Yes.
The message across, but you said something interesting about the sower,
yeah,
the seed, some plant, some water.
Right. I mean, we see Jesus in John 4, 35 through 37, and then Paul in 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 8, talk about some sow, you know, some reap, and then we all rejoice together. We all have our place. And so there's tending the soil, there's working the soil. You know, there's planting and then there's watering. And I think it all has to come together and we all get to partake in the fruit of that. And so the fruit being a saved, you know, a saved soul. And so some people tend more on the tending or the watering or the planting, obviously with the same goal of the fruit of a transformed life. So, Jody, what do you got on that?
I was thinking about outreach and I was thinking about how it's deeply connected to the kingdom of God and it's kingdom work. Mm-hmm. And the kingdom, of course, we know is now and forever. It's already and not yet. And it doesn't mean that we wait to do it until the hereafter or the next life or whatever. It's to be done now, like work of, you know, justice and outreach and peace and restoration. All these things are important kingdom work that Christians should be doing, you know. Yeah. And I think there has been somewhat of a tendency to not be concerned with the pain and the suffering of this world so much as the outcome of the next world. both those things are very important. The yeah. suffering and the pain that people are enduring in the world today is yeah. important, you know, yeah. and it's definitely a Christian responsibility as kingdom workers yeah. to reach out and to bring healing and to bring help to the people who are suffering in the world. And I was looking at a scripture in Luke where Jesus is talking to the disciples and he says, heal the sick who are among you and tell them the kingdom of God has come near you. Mm-hmm. And if you think about healing the sick, you know, that's meeting somebody's need and it's a physical need. It's yeah. not an eternal need. It's a now need. It's a physical need. But as you heal them, you know, or as you, I know, Kelly, you're really involved in slavery and sex trafficking and things like that, right? Like as you reach mm-hmm. out, as you bring healing to these people's lives, as you relieve their suffering, you know, there's an opportunity then to be able to say the kingdom of God has come near you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it opens the reality of the beauty and the truth of the eternal nature of the kingdom of God. Yeah. And perhaps then, I think, Kelly, you mentioned at one point that you almost earn the right to maybe share your faith with a person, you know. I know that, what's his name, Blaise Pascal, you know, he said, tell the people about, you know, salvation and the kingdom of God and Christianity in a way that they wish it was true mm-hmm. so that they can see the beauty and they wish it was true and then show them that it is.
Yeah.
And I think something about, you know, reaching out to people and relieving the suffering that they're experiencing in the world now today is kingdom work. And it can open doors where people will say, wow, I wish this was true. Like, I wish this message of love and peace and this work that this kingdom work that these people are doing, I wish it was true. And then we have the opportunity to say it is true. It is
right.
the truth,
right.
you know, for now and for eternity. So yes, of course, as you were saying, Kelly, like there's evangelism and there's outreach, you know, and evangelism is important and outreach is important, but both are important,
yeah.
you know, and if you're relieving people's pain in this world, even just that is yeah. a worthy yeah. endeavor.
Yeah. I mean, I love where it says in 1 John 3:17-18, that to love in word and deed, we can't look at their physical needs and not meet them, right? I mean, that's what we do, Ben. I think that as we're outreaching, they're getting a glimpse of Christ through believers. And like you said, it should attract them. And I always think about us, we should be trying to infiltrate our culture. It talks about, you know, how we are to in Philippians among this crooked and perverse generation, right? And so we're supposed to be among them. And so the word infiltrate, you know, it kind of means to gradually work yourself in. And I think as believers, we're supposed to infiltrate our world, infiltrate our community. And as a fragrance of Christ, we know in 2 Corinthians 2:14, where Paul talks about us being a fragrance. And you just think about it, how a fragrance kind of permeates in. And to some, it doesn't smell good. To some, it does. But our lives, as we get into our communities and help to build bridges and create opportunities for our ladies or our people in our church, we can become that fragrance that's diffusing, mm-hmm. you know, among mm-hmm. it. I know, have a quote. It says, while the church is called to be separate in lifestyle, it has never been called to be isolated from the people it seeks to influence. And so to pull in, just do in reach. And, you know, Paul, we know we're supposed to build up the body of Christ. We know he, you know, planted church. We know all that. But yet so often Paul talks about wanting to go where no one has heard yet and just being out of the church, you know, mm-hmm. outreach too. And we can't do that unless we are in our communities. And so there's global outreach where we're doing, we would call that missions and stuff. And then there's domestic outreach in our own communities. And I just think of Jesus, and I'm sorry, I'm just, this is a topic that's really on my heart. And so I'm going, but in Luke 19:41, where it says Jesus was looking over Jerusalem and he wept. He saw the sin of the people and he wept for them. I guess us as leaders in our churches and our communities, you know, I ask myself, when is the last time I wept for my community, that I look over, that I see the needs, the sin, the areas that they need help, the ways we can minister. And he was moved with compassion. And We need to be, I think, intentional about that, or else we can get stuck in our own little bubble doing our own thing rather than now. I'm sorry, I'm just taking over. Okay,
someone else, love it. I love it. You know, the thing is that if you think back, I don't know about global church culture, but I know that we have had, in some senses, a church culture that has said, oh, we're willing to go into those places as an organization. But what about the individual just going into the into their workplaces? And, you know, there's been sort of these off-limit places for Christians to be. And I just think, I know, you know, for my experience, we were in Hollywood for 10 plus years. And we would get constantly ridiculed and judged by other believers, just like, you know, oh, we can't go in. And I think the church has, in some sense, shied away from those areas. And it's like,
look,
you know,
who Jesus ministered to.
Right. Yeah. Right. Prostitutes and tax collectors. So I don't think that we should be scared. Now, there might be a time or a season where somebody isn't strong enough to handle, you know, going into dark places and actually being a witness. And maybe that's the fear, but I don't think that we need to fear that. We have the Holy Spirit within us. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And so I think just having that heart as an individual, and I think as leaders, we can help, you know, help get that heart out.
Yeah.
Teach our ladies that, like, this is the heart that we should have. We should not be scared to go into places. Yeah. We should not be worried that, you know, somehow the darkness is going to take us over. Yeah. Like, we have the power of God that lives within us. And so we can boldly go into those places. Will the message be popular always? No, we know that. But as we go in and take that risk to outreach to people individually and then as an organization as well, then eventually the gospel will be preached. Yeah. Some people, it doesn't even need to, it's there's power in the word of God. We know this, but I mean, handing somebody, haven't you ever been on an outreach or done outreach where people just are perplexed by the love and then they think, wow, okay, why did you love me that way? What? It's so odd. Mm-hmm. You've heard people say, you're peculiar, you're odd. Why are you loving me in this way? And then that opens the door.
Yeah.
And there's so many different ways. We've talked about generations do different things for outreach. I think it was Timothy Keller that was talking about, like, it used to be that you could just, he was interviewing, I think, Carrie Newhoff, and or the other way around. And he was saying, you know, it used to be that it was just like a felt need. Like, you could just go in on the basis of felt need. But with this generation coming, everything wraps around identity. Mm-hmm. And so if you're going to get to this generation, we have to talk about who we are in Christ, like what's our identity in Christ. And so there's different ways that each generation has approached, know, sharing that good news. And some people have the gift of evangelism.
Yeah.
So they're the ones that go in and maybe we do the groundwork and then someone comes in and shares the gospel. There's other times when someone's maybe on a deathbed that, you know, you have 2 minutes, you don't have time to, you know, earn the right to share the gospel.
Definitely.
There might be a time, I've been in situations where God's like, share the gospel now with people I don't even know.
Right.
And I haven't earned anything
right
in their lives except for just to say, I was lost and now I'm found.
Right.
And
you can be too.
You can be too. You know, I don't, not to make it cheesy, but you know, just to share.
That's not cheesy.
Yeah. It's true. Just to share in his love. I love, so when we were first endeavoring in Hollywood, my son was a child actor for many years. God gave me Romans 10, 13 through 17. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him to be saved unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him if they've never heard about him? And how can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? That is why the scripture says, how beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring the good news. But not everyone welcomes the good news. For Isaiah the prophet said, Lord, who has believed our message? So faith comes by hearing, that is, the hearing of the good news about Christ. And I love that verse because that is the goal. I mean, ultimately, we want people to come to Christ. We want them to hear the good news, but people do have needs, and that's the outreach part. They are hungry. Matthew 25:35-40. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then this righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did this to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. And so even the act of handing a drink, seeing someone in prison, those are actions. You know, we're talking about outreach, and it's fine to love people, but if there's no action or service behind it, then it's just words.
Oh. I think as leaders, to go back what you said, like, we can have the response. It's almost like we have to lead the charge as far as in the outreach and teach our women by example how to do it. Because I think there's individual, the one-on-one, and for people to get involved in their communities. And if they don't know how, it's us trying to equip and empower them. And again, I think we can, as leaders, create ways and opportunities to build relationships within the community. So we can begin partnering with organizations, bringing other people, and it's more of a training kind of thing. Because I think, too, God has strategically placed us in our communities, right? You here, me, Murrieta, you in Ireland, with its own strengths and weaknesses, with our community's own set of problems and issues. And God has uniquely gifted, I think, each congregation with those who excel in particular outreaches. And the best way, I think, to reach our community is find out what those needs are in our community, what's happening in our community, and begin praying and targeting those if we can, individually as well as collectively as a church. And again, to teach people that it is, hey, when you're a soccer mom, you know, that's a great opportunity for you to begin sharing and to be that light, because we're supposed to be lights wherever we are. But I think we just kind of go about our thing and forget that it's 24/7 all the time. But so I think that that's important for us to teach them how to infiltrate. Timothy Keller also said, when a city perceives the church as existing strictly and only for itself and its own members, the preaching of that church will not resonate with outsiders. But if neighbors see church members loving their city through astonishing sacrificial deeds of compassion, they will be more open to the church's message. And I say a big amen to that.
Amen.
So,
yeah, and I was thinking about what you were saying, Brenda. Like you said, it's okay if you have love, but you don't have any actions. You know, it's a bit hollow. But, you know, sometimes I think historically and maybe contemporary, Christianity has sometimes even lacked the love.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there are certain elements of society that are in deep need that we've almost been trained not to love, you know, I think it's interesting that you were saying in a conversation that we had yesterday that, is it Kelly, were you saying it in your city, they were clearing out the homeless people?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Before the census or something.
Yeah.
And, there's a sense there in which, you know, that's obviously extremely unloving, but sometimes we can see people in need as a nuisance, mm-hmm. you know, and we can even express that verbally to our friends or things like, oh, isn't that awful? Did you see that street? Isn't it a mess? You know, those people or whatever. And mm-hmm. as leaders, I think we need to be very aware that that can happen. And, you know, we have to ensure that our words are filled with love for yeah. people who are hurting and broken, and that we don't give way to a sense of inconvenience or yeah. like, oh, you know, they're messing up our lovely neighborhood,
yeah.
you know,
because yeah.
it's not somebody else's responsibility. As Christians, you know, yeah. God has laid the responsibility squarely at our feet.
Yeah.
You know, to care for and to love the broken and the homeless and the poor, yeah. and the drug addicts, you know, and the the people that you're hearing, I mean, I'm in Ireland and I hear a lot of rhetoric about the things that are happening in California at the moment with homelessness and everything. And I just don't think that I think we need to be careful about not giving way to that, you know, and ensuring that we do love and we do care, no matter how broken or disgusting or dirty or whatever the whole thing seems. Like that's our responsibility as Christians, to love the broken and the homeless, and to not, you know, allow that other kind of rhetoric to get into our heads or into our communities or into our churches or into our women's ministries, you know. And I suppose as leaders, we have a responsibility there that we ensure that we speak love, you know, about these situations and about the broken people around us. It's easy to talk about broken people who are living in a foreign country, you know, or whatever, but when they're in your own backyard, like sometimes it can be a bit of a conflict, you know, with your flesh. And so I suppose I would just encourage us to make sure that not only do we have the deeds, but we even have the love, you know, and that we ask God like to pour his love for them into us. Because sometimes we can't do it on our own.
Yeah, but there's most of the time.
A lovely story from, you know, Jim Cimbala, he wrote Fresh Wind, Fresh Fire. Is that what you call it?
Yeah.
And there was a story about how this homeless man came into his church. And I just remember this story really impacting me when I read the book. And the man like smelled really, really bad. And it was like going through the entire church. And afterwards, when everybody left, he came up to talk to Jim Cimbala. And like Jim was saying, he was really, really struggling because it was so unpleasant, you know, the smell. And he prayed to God and he was like, God, just help me here. You know, I want to talk to this man, like I want to help him. And he's he in the story, he told that like the whole sanctuary just filled with the most glorious like scent, you know, like from the Lord. And like that's how much God loves you. That's what he smells. That's what he sees. You know, he just has a heart filled with love for the person underneath all the brokenness, you know. And like, I suppose that's the heart that he calls us to have too. And maybe if we don't have that kind of heart, or if our conversations haven't been expressing that kind of heart or love, maybe, you know, we can just go to the Lord with that and ask him to give us his heart again. Mm-hmm. And then as leaders to filter that down to the people that are who are under us, so that we can encourage them to have a heart of love. Because if that's not there, the rest of it isn't going to happen, is it?
Yeah. Well, what you said in the beginning too, we look at it across the world sometimes, and I think early on that used to kind of bother me because we've always had a pretty strong missions program, and this is years ago, but tons of people would go out, want to go on the missions, but they came home and they didn't serve, they didn't do anything. It was just, I'll do it there, but not here. And it always frustrated me because our heart should be to serve wherever we are. And we all should be called to serve where we're at. And then others are called to go out and we help them and stuff. And I'm studying Nehemiah right now. And I think it's so significant in Nehemiah chapter 3. I love the book of Nehemiah as far as leadership. But when they're rebuilding the wall, he has everybody do the part that's right in front of them where they're going to live. They are building their own wall, part of the wall, and then some other ones are doing that and other ones as well, but they're all doing their own part in front of their own house. Right. Now, there's whole reasons why I think he would do that, but I just look at that and it's like we're responsible for our own place, and then others are called to go out and help other places, but here's our community. It's not an accident that we're here.
Yeah, I think of when you were saying the smell, and I was just thinking about when God says, you know, that there's this sweet smelling aroma that goes up to him. And I was, as you were talking, Jody, I was just thinking about how, you know, there's a stench to brokenness. Do you know what I mean? Like there's just like, it's broken before God. And as we pour out love, and Mother Teresa said this, and she has so many wonderful quotes where outreach is concerned, but she said, love cannot remain by itself. It has no meaning. Love has to be put into action, and that action is service. Mm-hmm. She goes on to say the most terrible poverty is loneliness and the feeling of being unloved. And so as we love, as we, instead of looking at that brokenness as a stench, looking at it as an opportunity to bring the love of Christ. But we have to check our motivation, I think, at the door, because if we're doing missions work or we're doing outreach so that we can be seen, or that so we can check off some box, or that we can, you know, like, oh, look at our ministry, like we're going here and we're going there and we're doing all these things, then we may as well stay home. But I think if we can really like focus in on, no, that those things that we see, the homelessness, the things that we see, those are a picture of brokenness. And God has the answer to that brokenness. And those things can be made whole, and they can become a beautiful aroma to the Lord. Once people find the Lord, then the Lord's in us. And that's that beautiful aroma, right, that goes up to Him. And so I just think of, yeah, checking our motivation. And someone made a suggestion once that, like, if you know, thinking in your motivation, why don't you go help someone and not tell anyone? Like, why don't we reach in, go help someone, go love on someone, go into the brokenness, and then just not tell any other soul, you know? Just,
yeah, all the self-help books right now tell you, if you're down, if you're having a problem, go serve someone and that'll help. And although there's some truth in that, that changes the motivation right there too. It's still self.
Right.
You know, you think about it, I want to feel better, so I'm going to help somebody broken to feel better. So, yeah.
And then I'll post about it on Instagram.
And then I'll post about it on Instagram.
Take selfies.
Yeah.
In the broken places.
Yeah. That's funny.
Oh, dear.
I think partnership with our communities, I'm sorry, I keep going back to that, but as we do outreach, whether it's individual or whatever, often I think I'm asked, do you only partner with Christian organizations, or some believers think you shouldn't partner with non-Christian organizations? And I personally don't believe that. I think it's a great thing to partner with them. Again, another opportunity to infiltrate and bring Christ into it. Now, it depends what your goal is. You're not, you know, what you're coupling to do, but in the social arena and education, all the things that are going on in your community, I think it's a great thing. We partner with many non-believing organizations. I know, Jody, you had said we work with trafficking victims, and we do, but I guess one thing is when Brenda and I were discussing this morning about earning their trust, because they have been told what to do and exploited, and you have to do this to receive this, and that's their mindset. And if we come in and do that to them again, then that's not helping. In fact, there's one home, there's about three different homes that we support, and one of them, they're all faith-based. One of them offers Bible studies. They work on Christian principles and love them, and they're not shy about that they're believers, but they don't make the girls go to Bible studies. They're offered and things like that, and they have seen great, I guess, fruit of the ladies coming to Christ and then wanting to get involved as they see that. As compared to, we have one that's in the downtown area around here, and it's so faith-based, if that's a word, that it's really strict. You come in and then you have to do your devotion from this time. You have to go to these Bible studies. You have to do this. And our own task force has very extreme difficulty getting ladies to stay there, because now they're being forced and told what to do, and they're coming out of a situation that they're forced and told. And so it's almost like they pride themselves that they're the Christian one, and they can't get anyone to stay there. And yet you have this one that's offering it with a heart of love and obviously Christian, and they're having so much success. And I guess that's the kind of thing that I'm looking at, not like just waiting. And that's not meaning I'm not sharing the gospel, but I'm loving them with the gospel and sharing when I can. And so I guess it's just,
right.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah. So we've talked a lot about just like the sort of the heart behind it and all of these things. Let's talk just really briefly, because we're almost out of time, but just let's talk about some practical things.
I was going to say, we never even got,
yeah,
sorry.
Just some practical things, practical ways. You know, I think of like pregnancy centers that you can partner with, drug and alcohol rehab places in your area. We do mom outreaches where we outreach to moms of preschoolers. We have, I'm drawing a blank. You go.
Me go of suggestions?
Yeah, just, I'm just rattling off.
Again, I think find out what your community is doing and and join that. On the top of my head, we work a lot with foster and adoption organizations to help the kids there in many different ways that we can. We're big on that. We work with Big Brother, Big Sister, which is a non-Christian organization, but they do mentoring, and you are allowed to share your faith in it. And so it's a great thing. You can, if there's transient populations or different organizations that work with homeless, we have a few out here. The police department, whether you can come alongside them, our city council, the disabled. We have a lot of refugee programs out here right now. So working with refugees, you don't have to go to Afghanistan to work with an Afghani. They're right here. And so I had host a fair trade market. If you're familiar with fair trade, you can have free community lunches maybe once a month out in the park or things like that. I guess there's just a lot. Volunteer. We have a team in the Relay for Life. That's a cancer, raise money for cancer. So our church has a team there, and we offer different things as well for that. Brown bag lunches for workers. Like, I guess it's just figuring out the need in your community, which are a little different than church maybe programs, if you will.
And I don't think that we can totally neglect the outreach aspect of the church, too.
Oh, no, of course not.
Because I think that, like, we do, one of our biggest outreaches, Vacation Bible School.
Oh, yes.
You know, that's a huge outreach that people can do. There's, like I said, there's other programs that we have. We have a Single Moms University where single moms can come into the church and learn different aspects of finances and, you know, helping them get... So there's a lot of like different programs that we can do within the church.
I was just trying to think outside of the box.
Yeah,
of
exactly.
That.
Out in our community bringing our community.
You know, just for like coming from the point of view of coming from a smaller church, you know, and not maybe being able to do as much church-based outreach as larger churches for just lack of people, lack of funds, things like that. Actually, like, connecting with the community the way you were suggesting, Kelly, is maybe a better, or not a better option, but an additional option, like something you can do right now, you know, like, and then more later, you know, but like even just listening to you talk was yesterday and today was kind of inspiring me because when you were talking about the Big Brother, Big Sister thing, I remember that somebody had told me there was something like that in Cork, and I'm definitely going to look into that and see if maybe we can connect with it. Mm-hmm. And we connect with an organization called Cork Penny Dinners every Christmas and do like work with them for feeding the homeless. Mm-hmm. And we have some of our own small outreaches with drug rehab and things like that. But it's maybe just on a smaller scale, but I guess that's okay, right?
Yeah.
You just do what you can.
Well, that's
you're
the thing,
at,
right?
You know,
we all want to be hands and feet of Jesus wherever we are, however we can. And we're all, you know, you're a hand, you're a nose, you're this, you know, Paul says. And if we're all using our gifts, some of us are tending and reaping and planting and sowing.
I'm onto this Mother Teresa thing.
I love Mother Teresa.
Another thing she says is not all of us can do great things, but we all can do small things with great love.
I have that on a shirt. I could have wore that today.
I love that statement, and it's so true because it's like do for one what you want to do for thousands, and we can feed one.
One at a time.
You know, if one person in the world, if everybody fed one person, you know, that would sew it up. So as we're wrapping up the show today, what would either of you say to someone who's listening that maybe is apprehensive about reaching out? Maybe there's a fear involved. Maybe, you know what I mean? Maybe there's that risk involved, especially in missions work. We're not talking so much about that. We're talking more about community outreach. But what would you say to that person?
You want to go, Jody?
I suppose that maybe just something like simple, like, maybe do go to prayer, you know, and just ask the Lord. I suppose not every church is called to do everything, you know, and there is a sense of a vision or a purpose or a style or whatever, you know, and ask the Lord, you know, what would work what for the people that we have, you know, and for the community that we're in, like, what's a thing that would be good to get on board with? And then, but, you know, I wouldn't, like, sometimes you can get so caught up in, like, praying for guidance that you never actually end up doing the thing, you know, but if even there's a...
Yep.
If
just
there's
do
even a little bit of a leading, you know, then go for, like, go for, like, I think it's so, again, it depends on if you're in a big church or a little church, what country yeah. you're in, different things like that, you know, but if there is something that you can maybe get connected within your community, you know, and yeah. just in little ways begin to help. And things yeah. grow, don't they? You don't start off, yeah. everybody's a novice before they're an expert, yep. you know, but you got to start
that's
somewhere.
That's so true. I agree with that. I would say just pray for, especially if you're nervous about it, you just pray, not just pray, but you pray and ask, start like you said, prayer. And ask God, what are my giftings? What are my talents? What are my resources? Kind of do one of assessment like that. What kind of time do I have? What kind mm-hmm. of resources can I yeah. offer? And I really think that God's faithful and will show you, you know, his spirit will show you ways to get plugged in and be able to punch out the darkness. So light can shine through wherever part of the world or you're in, part of your community. Right. And I think as leaders, yeah. again, if we take the charge in that and we have to be praying, and if we can pull people alongside of us and pray and they catch the vision. I know we started working the pantry during the COVID. Anyway, started working at the thing.
Yeah.
And ended up taking just like tons of people at church. I didn't mean to. It's something I was doing and they all just started following. And so you help them because you want it to be sustainable for them, but help, I think, as leaders too, help them find their gifts and talents and mm-hmm. how they can get plugged in and stuff. Yeah. And so begins with prayer. And remember that we can instill hope, the hope of the gospel, wherever we are, to whoever mm-hmm. we are, you know, around, and bring yeah. grace to this
world. I would add to that, you know, go with a group.
Yeah.
You know, when you're done praying, get up and join another group that knows what they're doing, that you can just be a part of that. And maybe God will open up mm-hmm. some door and try different things. Maybe there's definitely. One thing that you don't think you're going to be good at, but then the Lord gives you strength in that area and you begin to develop yep. a love for that. And so I would just say, just try things.
Yeah.
You know,
just
try
things. Sometimes you just meet the needs. Like Titus talks about, meet the urgent
right.
needs.
And I think we can prepare for outreach too. I mm-hmm. think that we could take classes in, like, you know, how to evangelize. Yep. Like, I think that's people's biggest fear. It's like, oh, I'm going to have to share the gospel with someone. Yeah. How am I going to do that?
Take classes in trauma.
Take classes understanding in trauma. Of it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. There's so many things that we could do in preparation
yeah.
for going out that will be very helpful once we get out into yeah. the field, knowing what we're doing. Now, you know, you don't go in like a know-it-all, but I mean, just right. having that information yeah. is super helpful. Thank you for joining us today. We hope you find this content helpful wherever you serve. Let us know how this podcast is ministering to you and your team by emailing us at whensheleadspodcast@gmail.com and share it with others that you think might enjoy it. You can also follow us on Instagram @whensheleads. Join us at the table next time as we discuss Reaching Our Communities Part 2, the holidays. Until then, lead people to know, love, and serve Jesus.